This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Greg Kim. Why the Mulchatna caribou herd has dramatically declined may not be known, but some things are known about how people can help conserve the herd, which has dropped to half the size it was 3 years ago. This week, KYUK held a call-in show with local subsistence users and federal managers to share local knowledge of the Mulchatna caribou and to learn how federal authorities plan to manage the hunt. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur hosted and has this report.
Here's what managers want hunters to do. Register for a state hunting permit, stick to the one caribou bag limit, target bulls, the adult males on federal lands as regulation dictates, and report your harvest as soon as possible to the state. Also, target predators like wolves. Ketton Mose is the federal in-season manager for the Mulchatna caribou herd, and he laid out the stakes.
Any over-harvest is going to be detrimental, and the idea is not only to recover this herd, but to do it in a timely manner.
Why the population dropped in half from more than 27,000 caribou to 13,500 is unknown, but there are suspected causes, and the decline can likely be attributed to a combination of them. Moe says the possibilities include predation, especially from wolves, overhunting, disease, an increase in older caribou that are naturally dying, and a recent string of warm, rainy winters.
Is it tougher on a caribou that is trying to survive out there that's wet in the wintertime as opposed to 20 below? We're not sure.
Another suspect, and this has been documented, cows or adult females having fewer calves in recent years, especially in the western range, where there are more hunters and the caribou decline has been steepest. In this western range sits Bethel, where Robert LeCander lives. He's chosen not to hunt caribou this season because of the decline, and he advocates for tighter hunting restrictions.
Should be one per household, not one per person, maybe, that cut down. Or another thought is like we did with the moose, moratorium.
For 5 years in the mid-aughts, the Kuskokwim River area ceased moose hunting to grow the local moose population. It worked, and hunters have been able to take Kuskokwim moose every fall since the moratorium lifted. Many Kuskokwim hunters don't think overhunting is causing the caribou decline. State surveys indicate more households are using caribou than are reporting harvest, but Yvonne Waska from Bethel said warm early springs mean hunters like himself haven't even been able to travel to the herd in recent years.
Because all the snow melts in February and we can't even get to them.
In Tulluksac, Noah Phillip pointed to predation as the driving issue for the caribou drop, reporting a rising wolf population near his community.
Over the years, I've heard packs of pups howling upriver in Tulluksac within my fish camp.
Federal manager Ketton Mose encouraged hunters to take more predators, saying that and reducing caribou harvest are the main tools available for conserving the herd. And he stressed that this is just the first pass at conservation efforts that will likely change and continue in coming years.
We may have to do some things that in the short term might not be comfortable, but in the long term will hopefully be beneficial to this herd.
The hunt could shut down early, but for now, the season continues through March. Law enforcement is increasing surveillance, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will be traveling to Middle Kuskokwim River communities in the coming weeks to gather input on how to manage the Mulchatna caribou herd. In Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
And finally, the city of Bethel has another problem that's going to get expensive. The floor in the city's public works building is rotting, and fixing the building will cost anywhere from $1 million to $30 million. Acting City Manager Bill Howell says the city noticed the problem this summer as they watched water trucks leave the public works building.
The floor would press down a few inches and then spring back up when the weight was off of it.
They looked underneath the building, and it wasn't good.
There's a number of rotten beams and girders and metal brackets that have detached.
Howell explains that it's an old building that was built in the early 80s, and part of the problem is the water trucks parked inside.
some are leaking a bit, and that got onto the floor and has penetrated in some areas.
He says they've moved heavy equipment outside and are no longer parking water trucks on the side of the building in question.
If we don't do something, those beams will continue to rot, and that, yes, you could have a piece of heavy equipment or a large sewer water truck fall through the floor.
Howell says the city is considering three options. They might just replace the floor, which would cost a little over $1 million. Or they might also fix the delaminating walls, which would add $5 to $6 million. Or they might replace the whole building, which would cost around $30 million. He says in addition to its deteriorating condition, the building is just too small to support the entire public works department as it exists today.
You know, when that building was built, there was like 3,000 people in Bethel. Now there's like 7,000.
The city has requested $7 million from the state to help pay for the repair. Howell says the state has helped rebuild the fire and police department buildings before, but that was over 5 years ago. At its last meeting, the Bethel City Council approved $150,000 to assess the damage. Howell says part of that money will be used for emergency repairs.
We want to stabilize anything that's in imminent danger of collapsing or breaking.
As of now, the city is waiting on the full engineering report to decide which approach to take to fix Bethel's deteriorating public works building. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim. Thank you for listening to KYUK News. Please send any news tips to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for News Yukdun coming up.